The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
We're done grunting! We're screaming now! The answer of the week, because that's what this is. It's the answer of the week with me, Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting across from me is my co-host. See, I'm the talent. You're the co-host. See how that works?
No. Okay. We're both the talent. We're the co-talent.
All right, fine. My co-talent, Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe.
It's me, Joe Patrick.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm at JoePatrick116 on the Twitter.
Nice. And you can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter. But we're not here to talk about Twitter. We're here to talk about the question of the week. Every week, Joe Patrick posts it on Sunday on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can find them by going to...
Sunday-ish.
Let's keep it on Sunday.
Sunday adjacent.
You can find them by going to twoheadednerd.com and clicking the forums button.
Look, man, do you want 25 calls every week or do you want me to, like, forget to post it and maybe cut back a couple?
I'm speaking specifically to Nate Aguilar, who I saw last night.
Oh, I know.
And apologized.
He's on the list.
And he's like, well, the show doesn't come on. I'm like, dude, it's on the forums every Sunday. Come on. So, regardless, Joe goes there, posts the question. This week, that question sounds a little something like this.
This week's question came from Willie Toots. Essentially, he wants to know what our favorite video game comics are. Bonus points for discussing whether or not we were fans of the game and that's what led us to pick up the comics, or if we just thought the comic looked cool.
Or vice versa. Yeah. So there you go.
Maybe the comic book turned us into fans of the game. What do I know?
Everybody that you're going to hear today either called us at 402-819-4894 and left their answer, or emailed us at twoheadednerd@gmail.com and left us an MP3 answer. You are invited to do it too. Just keep it south of 2 minutes. That's all I ask. But before we get into these answers, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. You can go to the THN Tumblr and find the recipes for the cocktails of the week if you would like to drink along with us.
We only have 15 calls.
This week, we are sipping on the Red Potion. It is inspired by the Water of Life that you get in Legend of Zelda.
Yes, named in honor of Legend of Zelda.
That gives Link his life bar, that refills Link's life bars.
His hearts, Matt, come on.
Pardon me, that refills Link's hearts. It is our first blended drink, and
it's
exciting. It is exciting.
Listen to this. That's my spoon.
Yeah, buddy. It is made with one strawberry Jello cup.
A snack pack. You might know it as a snack pack.
Okay. 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of triple sec, 6 ice cubes.
What's important?
Place into a blender, blend, and pour into your favorite video game themed tumbler. I have none, so we are drinking out of Star Trek tumbler.
Specifically Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock.
Yes.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. It tastes like video game fun.
What's in it again?
Vodka, triple sec, strawberry, Jello, ice.
Okay.
Yeah, you have that really weird artificial flavor.
Yeah, it's
the Jello.
I'm trying to compare it to something, but I can't.
It's kind of neat. I like it.
It's a singular experience.
It truly is.
Speaking of singular experiences.
Oh, man. It's our man, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn.
Sub nerds, Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn here, and I'd love to talk to you about Injustice, Gods Among Us. Now, I have not played the game. What I have done is gone on YouTube and watched all the cutaway scenes like a giant movie, because I am a giant nerd. Now, the premise of the book is that it is the 5 years leading up to the game, and in it, the most horrifying thing you can imagine happening to Superman happens to Superman, and as a result, he snaps and decides that the only way he can truly protect humanity is if he's in charge of humanity. This, of course, puts him at odds with Batman, and hilarity ensues. Now, if you want to see an amazing Batman versus Superman battle, like both strategic and physical, I would urge you to stay away from the Cineplex and give this book a shot. There is one detriment, and I'll get it out of the way right away. There are times where the art is really weak. How However, I would argue that the situations are compelling enough and the characters human enough that it will propel you to want to continue reading the series despite times where there is questionable artwork. And this series is crazy. For example, there's a moment where Superman wants to reveal Batman's identity to the world. In the process, Batman crashes every single satellite because he's Batman. So Superman goes on Twitter and reveals Batman's identity on Twitter.
I can't think of a better way to do it.
And that is crazy and awesome and typical for this series. But it also has really genuinely hilarious moments and very human moments. There's a wonderful issue dedicated to the pre-New 52 Superman. I'm talking underwear on the outside Superman. Where is the guy who would save people, pick up a kid who's just fallen off of his bike and fix his bike for him? Where is that guy? And it is a very thinly veiled criticism of New 52 Superman. And also, it's exciting and gratuitously violent. But I will say that if you are a fan of Elseworlds, you will love this series. This is like the longest Elseworlds outside of the New 52. Zing. Anyway, that's it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
See what he did there.
Boom. Sounds like a way better plot than Batman versus Superman.
God, I got to read these Injustice comics because people have told me, more than one person has told me that they're really good.
I heard it too. I find it so hard to believe. I do trust Anthony, though. So
I do trust Anthony.
Man. Damn it, Anthony. Knock it off.
Anthony and Jason Sachs got to hang out in person.
Jerks.
Last week when Jason was in Brooklyn for a convention.
Oh. And Sexier called in with his choice for a comic book video game connection. He spelled connection with an X. I don't know. It's a short excerpt from his American Comic Book Chronicles, the 1990s.
I hope it's the Kool-Aid Man comic.
I hope so, too.
Hey, guys. Jason Sachs here at Jason Sachs on the Twitters. You're... topic this week reminded me of a set of comics that a lot of people don't know about, which is when Valiant Comics put out a series of comics based on Nintendo characters. In 1990, Valiant debuted its Nintendo comic system with four titles: Captain M, the Game Master, Game Boy, Link, The Legend of Zelda, and Super Mario Brothers. The releases were intended less for comic shops and more for mass retail stores like Kmart and Toys R Us. In other words, less for comic book collectors and more for the kids who bought Nintendo games. Two key figures in Valiant's eventual success worked on the Nintendo comics. Longtime Marvel artist Bob Layton drew interiors and covers for several of the titles. He soon became Shooter's editor-in-chief. Likewise, J.J. Jackson served as both one of Valiant's colors and Shooter's right-hand assistant. In addition, future Valiant mainstays such as Steve Ditko and Joe Quesada produced work for the Nintendo comics. Quesada's first ever comics work appeared in Captain M, the Game Master, number 3, July 1990.
Crazy.
Unfortunately, many video game fans despise the Nintendo comics, mostly because they featured plots that were very different from those in the games and included off-model versions of the characters, or they starred characters who had no video game presence at all. Reader complaints, though, were the least of Valiant's worries. The more troubling problem was that Valiant couldn't turn a profit on the books. Nintendo promised Shooter and Masarsky two principal things: access to the mailing list of 2 million subscribers to Nintendo Power Magazine, and store displays for Valiant comics to be sold right next to the video games. Shooter and Masarsky were provided with neither. The Nintendo comics were a financial fiasco and a major miscalculation for the market that Shooter, Masarsky, and their team were trying to reach. Valiant Comics started with a bit on the wrong foot, but they soon bounced back with Magnus Robot Fighter and Stellar the next year and became the thing in the 1990s.
There you go.
I was just telling Matt about the Valiant Nintendo comics earlier today. The very first thing I ever saw Valiant do, and apparently the very first thing Valiant ever published.
Apparently. Captain N, the Game Master, was a cartoon.
Well, it's a cartoon, but it was based on Nintendo, obviously.
I'm just trying to find this intro. I remember it being like,
whoa!
Really stupid.
Yeah, it starts in live action at first. It's like, Kevin, shut up that game and come to dinner.
Welcome to Video Land.
Oh, this isn't the part that starts the live action.
No.
Wake up, Kid Icarus.
Welcome to Castle Day.
Oh, Captain N.
Holy crap.
They made Simon Belmont some sort of cocky coward.
Yeah.
And Mother Brain sounded like Bootsy Collins.
Yeah.
The palace is under siege.
Wow.
Behold, the ultimate warp zone.
Now it goes for reality.
Oh.
And Kevin is playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out with his dog that's wearing a do-rag.
I thought I told you to clean up your room.
There it is. And he gets sucked in. The best is his golden lab, for some reason, that wears a do-rag, also has a black spot. But the black spot is quite obviously makeup. Like, golden labs don't have black spots. Like, if you need that, go get a dog with a spot. They're out there.
I remember Captain N. This is completely off of topic from Jason Skull, but I remember thinking, holy crap, Captain N has like the most powerful gadgets of all time because he's wearing a belt buckle shaped like the Nintendo controller.
Yeah.
And when he hits pause on it, it actually freezes time.
Except for Mother Brain.
Did it not freeze Mother Brain?
Yeah, it didn't freeze her. Otherwise, the show's over. That's it. You know.
Anyway, I remember those Valiant comics. I remember I had Super Mario Brothers number one. I had an issue of, there was an anthology title that had several stories in it. Captain N was one of them. I had Game Boy number one. They are awful.
What was the show where the girl touched her fingers together and stopped time?
Out of This World.
Was that on at the same time?
It was also in the 80s.
Yeah. So we had like two characters that like their powers to stop time.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I mean, I don't know if the time frames overlap.
But it's like, what a beautiful way to illustrate that these people knew nothing about video games. His power was to hit the pause button.
Well, he also had a wicked gun.
Of course he did.
It's shaped like a Nintendo blaster.
Let's get off of this and go to our man on the street, the Nomad, Damon Chan.
Hey guys, Damon from Brooklyn calling in for the question of the week.
Out pounding the pavement.
From the mean streets of Manhattan. To answer, what's my favorite comic book series based off of a video game? And to clarify, I've probably been playing video games probably as long as I've been reading comic books. And I was thrilled when Udon decided to take on my favorite fighting game of all time, Street Fighter, again, made by Udon Comics. As many have known who are big Street Fighter fans, there have been many really bad interpretations of Street Fighter outside of video game platforms. There was a really bad 90s series, which I can't remember who had made it, and I want to say it was Dark Horse, but could be wrong. And, of course, the infamous movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia, which lives on to infamy in this day.
Ugh.
But Udon Comics is perfect. It's made in a Japan-esque style, very manga-ish, but it's not quite manga, so people who are not used to reading manga don't have to feel intimidated to pick up this book. And they give a really good backstory with all the characters. There's a lot of like little mini little storylines going on throughout. Ultimately, at the end of the day, they're all looking to take down Bison, who runs Shadaloo, is the proprietor behind the Street Fighter tournament itself. But yeah, if you guys have never read it, pick up Street Fighter by Udon. It's a fun read. It's actually has a pretty big universe there, to the point where there's a lot of one-shots with some of the characters. Like, I think Chun-Li had her own one-shot, and so did Ibuki, of all people. And of course, there's a lot of backstory between Ryu and Ken and Gal and Chun-Li teaming up. So yeah, all good stuff. People who play the video game, you know what I'm talking about. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
I've always loved the Street Fighter universe and the characters and the character design
universe
and those art books. I will say the comics, not very good.
Hey,
not very good.
Get going down in Brooklyn.
Yeah, man.
Tonight.
You hear that?
It was a mix of saxophones and sirens.
Totally. It's New York.
Hopefully they weren't related.
About it. It's called New York's All Right. Mm. If you like saxophones. Sadly, Raul Julia, beloved actor.
The last thing Raul that dude
Julia,
ever did.
Amazing guy. I think he was nominated for Oscars. His final role, M. Bison, in the Jean-Claude Van Damme helmed Street Fighter vehicle. If you have not seen it.
This is bad.
Don't. But go download the How Did This Get Made episode where fucking awesome.
Watch the Addams Family instead. That movie's baller.
Please. Oh. And that first Street Fighter series, Malibu.
Yeah, Malibu.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of them. It's not an answer. It is a question.
Okay.
So we need to skip to Randy.
Go straight to Randy Andrews.
Randy, currently from Brooklyn.
He hopes we like his answer, as always.
Yeah, always.
Greetings, Joe and Matt.
Have we ever been like, no, Randy, we don't like that answer.
Sorry, Randy, I hate it.
This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week.
Yes.
About our favorite video game-based comic book.
Can't see it. We're both dancing.
Well, guys, I've always been a fan of Mega Man and Sonic the Hedgehog. I loved playing the Mega Man Legends game and Legends 2. and I still love those games. I saw that Mega Man and Sonic were joining up for a comic, so I picked up the Worlds Collide comic trades for those properties. Still impressed and love the art. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is called Bonus Level from the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. See you in a week. Bye for now.
Who doesn't love the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra? The Mega Man comics are great.
That's what I've heard.
They're really good.
I've read a few.
Every time I have reviewed a Mega Man comic, I have given it a buy it.
I read some of the World's Collide books, the first few chapters. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're really. And now I've never read Sonic. People love Sonic the Hedgehog.
And those books, those early Sonic books are crazy expensive.
And Sonic has been running
since the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, like forever.
Yep.
I'm just checking right now on eBay. I want to see what the most expensive sold Sonic comic is, because it's going to blow your mind.
Randy, I loved the first Mega Man Legends game. It was barely Mega Man, but I really enjoyed it. It was a PlayStation 1 game. I thought I was the only person on Earth that played it, so good on you.
Sonic the Hedgehog, number zero, CGC 9.8. What do you think it went for?
I don't know, like a grand?
$200.
Oh, look, I was way off.
Yeah.
So I guess not as expensive as I thought, because I thought
still pretty solid.
I thought that like even unslabbed you could fetch $200.
Sonic unslabbed 97, 98, and 99. Those three issues. How much do you think it went for?
A couple hundred.
Well, $80. But still,
I'm really bad at this. Why still, are you asking? Yeah, me to guess?
I don't know. You're terrible at this. Sonic comics sell for money. Good answer, Randy. And yeah, I've heard they're great. Who next?
Stephen Fino.
Stephen Fino. We haven't heard from the Master of Coin for a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? He only answers when he's got something good to say.
That's fine. And he's busy. He's counting money. He's doing our books. You know, he's our Master of Coin.
He was. It says here that this was recorded while attending the biannual Intergalactic Jewish. Wow.
Oh, wow. That red potion getting to
no,
you?
No, it's just a tongue twister. It was recorded while attending the biannual Intergalactic Jewish Conspiracy Meeting. Where all of us Jews with level 5 clearances get together to discuss redacted. Matt's only a level 4 Jew. Yeah. He's not invited.
I'm like a level 2.
Hello again. This is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, reporting in live from the biannual Intergalactic Jewish Conspiracy Meeting here in scenic... staying on top of the THN finances for the upcoming year, as well as our plans for... Also, I'm going to answer the question of the week. So, I am not much of a gamer, and was a lone comic book fan in a circle of video game nerds in high school. So, when it comes to video game comics, there's very little that interests me. Most of what I have read out of curiosity has ended up being really quite terrible, like the Injustice Gods Among Us comic, in which Dick Grayson is killed by tripping over a rock and breaking his neck. Really, that happened.
He tripped over a rock.
But the one comic I
can
think of that I did really enjoy was based on my favorite video game, Portal 2, and it was a comic, Lab Rat.
Oh,
the comic follows the insane scientist Ratman, the lone survivor of when GLaDOS flooded the facility with a neurotoxin, and the man responsible for the famous "The Cake is a Lie" graffiti scene in the game. The comic is available entirely for free on Valve's website, thinkingwithportals.com, and shows a brief glimpse into the world of the man who was such a major part of the first Portal game, as well as the man who saved Shell. So Portal 2 Lab Rat is my answer for my favorite... A certain someone just walked in over by the filter fish, and we have much to discuss. So I'm going to see you, and Brian Dennis, you... Civil War...
Whoa, Fino, come on.
That is the most animated I have ever heard Steven
I know.
Get.
Wow, he's pissed at BM. I'll tell you
man.
What. Oh. Bendis, fifth level Jew. I didn't know.
Yeah, oh, well, come
I mean,
on.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, bald Jew in power. Come on, a big shock there.
Okay. All right. Listen, you're barely Jewish, so we need to watch our step.
Hey, Fino started this, okay? I'm just playing along. That was awesome. I did not read the Portal comics.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yes, they were released for free on the website, and then they collected them eventually in some fancy hardcover book. It's the story of this scientist who it starts out as this, you know, normal scientific guy happy with his job at Aperture Science. And
a normal scientific guy?
A normal scientific guy.
Is that like a scientist?
Yeah, he's just a normal scientific
this
guy.
This is like
the
punchy
song
guy
says.
That you mentioned last week.
Yeah, punchy guy.
Or boxer.
Right.
Joe doesn't know people, the names of people's
jobs. I don't
jobs.
Know. I don't think about titles.
That's
okay?
Why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
titles limit us as culture. And yeah, it just slowly goes way wrong as GLaDOS goes crazy and kills everybody and he's hiding in the walls. And yeah, so that's the origin of all that graffiti you see in the Portal 1 game.
Hot damn.
You know, the cake is alive. Very, very famous. And yeah, it's awesome.
Never
that's
read.
A really, really great answer, Steve.
I love the answer. I love the call. That was a ton of fun.
The out of nowhere dramatic... dramatic reading from Stephen Fino.
Yeah, I want to hear where that went with BM, man. Like, this sounds like they were going to get into it. But right now, we got to go up to Maine. Our man, the Orca.
I want to say something real quick. The texture of this drink, I believe the word I would use to describe it is upsetting.
I would call it Jell-O-esque.
No, because it's...
I like it. It's creamy and
it's,
sort of...
It's... Yeah, okay. It's got the viscosity of cream, okay. But it's not cream. And so my brain is like,
it's
not
gelatin.
Okay.
It's
something
gelatin.
Is not okay about it.
Oh, screw you. We're going to do alcoholic bubble tea next week.
Oh, you. I love tapioca. I'm all about bubble tea.
I can't stand bubble tea. I feel like you're drinking like
fish eggs,
not even fish eggs, like tadpoles. Let's go to the Orca. What do you think? He's using an Intellivision, one of those old school Ataris that was built into like
your coffee table. Was there a Pong comic?
Maybe. Yeah. This is either going to be Pong or basketball. Tennis. That was in there too.
Yeah.
Orca here. I wanted to go with Aubrey Citizen, Street Fighter versus G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
A contest of champions like book involving two of my favorite properties. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I love the 16-bit variant connecting covers. Citizen is a hell of a creator. I've been bugging Matt to get him on the show, but every time I bring it up, he just says, "We're busy right now, you bitch. Put your head down and shut up. Just keep biting that pillow if you know what's good for you." Anyway,
yikes.
If you haven't listened to Citizen's
just
podcast
like
called Scald, S-K-A-L-D, and you want to hear something really different, check it out. Especially you, Toots old boy. It's like Conan on acid. And you can't beat the price. Anyway, I was set to go with that when I remembered a mini comic from an old Atari game. Back when they used to put comics in the boxes
with cartridges.
Mm-hmm. My favorite, and one of my favorite games too, was Yaz Revenge.
Yes, I remember the Yaz Revenge comic.
It was cool that you were the monster instead of the victim. I could play that game all day long. And they gave me a cool backstory in the comic explaining the whole revenge theme. Cool fact, Yaz is a play on Ray, as in Ray Kassar, the CEO of Atari at the time.
What?
I wore that comic out. So I guess by default, that's my favorite. Kiss, kiss, boys.
That is awesome. What a great... Like obscure.
Yeah,
go
I totally
it.
Remember the Yaz Revenge comic.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go to eBay and see what that sells for. I'm curious if it's even out there.
I mean, it was like one of those little He-Man comics that came with the toy. It was like a nothing.
Somebody's
thing.
Selling them. Yaz Revenge with box, manual, and comic. No cartridge.
Please don't ask me to guess how much.
You had to guess. No cartridge. This is just the box, the manual, and the comic.
I don't know. Like $75.
$42. Still shocking. Wow. Yeah, I remember that comic. You can pick up the mini comic, $5 on eBay. I kind of want to buy it and frame it. I remember I had the Journey Escape comic, and Journey Escape looked like it was going to be the coolest game you have ever played. And the comic really sold it up. And then I put the cartridge in, and I'm not convinced it was a game at all.
You mean Journey the Band? The band.
They had a game called Journey Escape. I was also a fan of the band.
Journey the Band, colon the game.
And I loved... No, the game was Journey Escape.
Yeah, I got it. Journey the Band, colon the game.
And they had the cover of their record, Escape, as the art.
I got it.
I was so pumped. It looked so sci-fi and cool. It went down as one of the worst games ever made. Like, worse than E.T. for Atari. which was rumored to have been buried.
No, it did not go down worse than E.T., Matt.
Oh, Journey Escape is pretty famously bad.
E.T. is, without a doubt, the worst video game ever made.
Pretty bad.
And that landfill story is true. Up.
I thought that was turned out to be an urban legend.
No, they went to the landfill and they dug it up. Really? And it was real. Yes, really? It's absolutely real.
Huh.
Yeah.
No figure.
Yeah, it was all up in the news. You didn't see that?
No.
It was like 2 years ago.
I don't remember that. I thought it turned out to be BS.
No, it was all too real.
Thank you, the Orca. Really digging deep for that one. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was a great answer. You were kind of right about you ballparked the time period pretty well.
Yeah.
Good job.
What can I say?
It's upsetting, but I can't stop drinking.
Warbringer, he hearts us guys and our show. Let's get drunk in Vegas. That sounds awesome.
I'm halfway there.
Hey, what do you guys want to eat?
Pizza!
Cowabunga, dude.
What's going on, guys? It's me, it's Warbringer, answering your question this week, which was, what was our favorite comic book based on a video game? And I'm going to turn it on its head, and I'm going to say it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time. If you remember, it was a video game first. Old school arcade game from Konami. It was a beat-em-up. It was badass. And that's basically the answer of the week, I think. I mean, the question of the week deserves an answer of the week, and I think I just won. So my answer is going to be that it was a good little adventure. It came out in 2014 from IDW, and it was pretty good. I mean, I bought it solely based on the title just because I remember the video game, and that's probably what sold that little miniseries itself. I mean, so anyway, hope you guys are having fun, and that's my answer. My answer is a comic book based on a video game, which was based on a TV show, which was in turn based on the original source material, which was the comic book. All right, you guys have fun, and toodles.
Little dude.
Mind blown.
Whoa.
Turtles in Time was awesome.
I never played it.
Oh, man. Those old Nintendo, the NES Turtle games were amazing.
Well, Turtles in Time was after NES, I think.
It was Super NES.
It was arcade, and then I think they did Super Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah. I loved the NES games.
I played the first three Nintendo games. The second one was based off of the first arcade game that everybody loved, the Double Dragon-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Side-scrolling.
So great.
The four-player thing. Oh, God. TMNT, the arcade game. Some bitch. Turtles in Time. It's combining two of my favorite things, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and time travel.
But yeah. Everybody loves time travel.
I missed it.
I wasn't even interested until they mentioned time travel.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of a theme.
That's going to be my new... I wanted to say that on my gravestone.
I wasn't that interested until like, time travel
Matt
came
Matt Bomb out. Always said that. It's a callback to this week's episode.
Yeah, you might remember it. We just recorded it 5 minutes ago, but in your perspective, it was several days ago.
Yeah, it feels like a month.
I know.
Thank you, Warbringer. That was an awesome call.
Thanks, Warbringer.
That was crazy. A comic book that was a TV show that became a video game.
A comic book based on a video game that was based on a TV show that was in turn.
I'm already lost.
Based on.
Forget it.
A comic book.
I already lost it.
And what's more is that it's a comic book based on the video game that came out like 15 or 16 years prior.
I feel like I'm getting further and further away from it.
More red potion is what we need here.
I agree. Let's go to the Google voicemail.
Hey, you doing, Matt? Cody from Louisiana calling back again.
Crawdad Cody!
Nickname, so
yeah, yeah.
I'm calling in for the question of the week.
Bam! There it is!
What is our favorite video game tie-in comic? Not making a lot of flack for this one, but mine is Arkham Knight Genesis, because my favorite superhero is Jason Todd. The Red Hood. And so what this tie-in comic does is it gives us the origin of Jason Todd in this universe. I thought the Arkham Knight is probably one of the best things that happened to Jason Todd in a while because, God forbid, Scott Lobdell continues to write Jason Todd.
You're damn right.
Times, and I just can't. It makes me so sad because he deserves so much better. I know not a lot of people on the show like Jason Todd, but I feel if he got one good run, like how Bucky became Winter Soldier, I feel like Jason Todd could be.
You know what? That's fair.
Good.
Totally fair.
He constantly gets rid of my Scott Lobdell, and it's just it's pitiful. Anyways, I got to go wrestle an alligator because I live in the bayou, so.
That's right.
Catch you guys later.
Born on the bayou. Crawdad Cody. Born on the bayou. I'll tell you what. Walking around.
Was CCR in the studio just now?
That sounded amazing, right? Arkham Knight. Somebody has to like Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Somebody out there has to like him. I get it.
I will tell you, since we'll just go ahead and say that Crawdad Cody kind of let the cat out of the bag point.
Right.
But the reveal, Jason Todd's reveal in Batman Arkham Knight is so telegraphed from like the first second of the first moment of the game that by the time you finally get to it, you're like, Jesus Christ, take off that stupid helmet already. But yeah, I mean,
it was a good game. It's a good game.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I don't really read the Batman Arkham Knight comics. I
tried, and I guess it's just
like I already have a comic book Batman that I like.
Yeah.
And this version of Batman is not really what I like about Batman.
Yeah. And I don't understand why they can't do that version of Batman as a video game.
I mean,
I don't get it. The whole thing where like they started with like the walled off city and they were like put all
that was the second game.
Apartment was the second one. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? You know, like the first one was still
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. Arkham Asylum was when they broke out and you ran all over Gotham trying to stop them. It got a little bonkers after that, I would say. But hey.
Well, in Arkham Asylum, it took place exclusively in Arkham Asylum.
No wrong answers here. No wrong answers, except the ones that
there's
are
only
wrong.
Matt Bomb remembering video games incorrectly.
That's right.
Yes.
The only wrong answers are the ones that are wrong. Let's go back to the voicemail.
Thank you, Cody. Welcome back.
Oh, wait a minute. I think that's Cody.
Nickname achieved.
Yep. Congratulations on your new nickname. Hope you like it because you have no control over it whatsoever. Oh, it's Mystery Husband.
Oh man, my heart is going pitter-pat.
I know.
Hey, honey, it's me. Sorry if my snoring kept you up last night. This cold has really turned me into a real mouth breather. Hey, you remember a few years ago when I was playing those Batman games, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City?
We find ourselves right back.
They were a lot of fun. But did you know they were written by Paul Dini, who's also a comic writer, TV writer, but he's most well-known for writing a bunch of stuff on Batman the Animated Series.
I don't think
which
I
is one of the main reasons I really like those games. But when Arkham the City came out, he released some prequel comics that just gave you some more information on the world and what was going on in the game. And they were fine. Probably the best video game tie-in comics I've read. But that's specifically because I avoid, tie-in comics with video games and TV and movies. Just never been a big fan of them. But they're decent with some decent art. And I mean, more Paul Dini is good wherever you can get them. All right. Well, saw that, so talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, buddy. I will say you're perfectly safe avoiding tie-in comics 99.9% of the time.
I mean, I'd call that a second vote for the Batman Arkham comics, except he didn't really vote for the Batman Arkham comics.
He called them fine. Not a glowing review, but that's the best one he's read. So there you go. I mean,
fair enough.
It counts. I'm not going to argue with my husband. I want a happy, you know, it's a happy home.
Happy husband, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, I know, but
we're the wives.
Are we the wives?
We're the wives.
Oh, okay.
He's Mystery Husband.
I get it, but we're not women. So.
I mean, I guess we could be husband and husband. That's perfectly acceptable.
This is 2016.
That's right. Family's a family. All right.
God.
We're not here to judge.
I mean, I know
here I am putting my heteronormity.
I know you're from Nebraska, but you're from the one little blue dot.
I apologize.
You're abno heteronormative.
Speaking of being abno heteronormative, it doesn't get much
abno heteronormative.
It doesn't get much more abno.
I can't even say it. And it's Toots time. All right, nerds, jump into the Toots Wayback Machine, because we're going back to 1982. Now, although Dark Horse, Dragon Age, and Witcher comic books are phenomenal, those books did not have the impact on me that this one did. In 1982, Atari planned a four-game series called Sword Quest, and it was Earth, Wind, Air, Water. We're going to be the four different games. Only three of them came out, but then they had like $150,000 in prizes. So in the games, you had to figure out these puzzles
answers to the puzzles, way to figure it out, were hidden inside of a comic book that came with each game. This comic book was 50 beautiful pages. You can look it up online. Written by Roy Thomas, my man, and drawn by George Perez. This is 1982, Whoa. Dude. Perez was kicking it. There are panels in this comic book that are burned in my brain. I will never forget them, ever. So the deal was you had to play all four games and figure out the puzzle in each of the games, and then you would win the grand prize, which was a sword valued at $50,000. Sword Quest.
What?
There was the kid that won the first game, the only game that I ever played, and the only one I ever saw, the only comic book I ever saw. He won a talisman that was like 18 karat gold. It had diamonds and all the birthstones of the zodiac sign embedded in it. And that's because in the first game, the two characters, they're twins. They face all the different beings of the zodiac in that first video game. The Sword Quest games are some of the first action adventure games ever created. And it's a shame that they didn't make them all. But the video game crash of 1983 killed Atari, and therefore killed this video game series.
That's terrible. So you played through the games, you read the comics, you got all the clues, and then you're like, all right, I'm ready for the last one. Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, kid.
It's a real bummer.
Whoa, man. I remember those now. I just looked up the covers. I totally remember those now. Like, but I remember them from quarter bins and stuff like that.
Sword Quest, all one word?
Yeah, the Chalice of Light. Man, okay, so this is according to the Sword Quest wiki. As there were more than
50, these covers are super familiar.
As there was more than 50 planned participants, a much larger turnout than the previous contest, they held a second preliminary round where contestants were told to write what they liked about the game. From there, Atari chose 50 of the entries to continue on. The Chalice of Light was won by Michael Rideout. The chalice itself was made of gold and platinum and was adorned with citrines, diamonds, green jade, pearls, rubies, and sapphires. Like the talisman of penultimate truth, the Chalice of Light had a value of $25,000.
Crazy.
Man, they don't have contests like that anymore, do they? Damn, Atari. I wonder why you went out of business.
1982, George Perez already would have still been drawing new Teen Titans.
Yeah.
So he was doing two books.
Damn. The games of Sword Quest were some of the earliest attempts to combine the narrative and logic elements of the adventure game genre with the twitch gameplay of the action genre, making them some of the very first action adventure games. There you go. Toots, I would have expected nothing less from you. Whoa, look at this. Four more Google voice calls.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Chris Backelder here, answering the question of the week.
Backelder.
He has asked what our favorite video game adaptation for a comic book was, or comic book adaptation of the video game was. And mine goes to Injustice, Gods Among Us. Because quite honestly, the comic was able to take what was such a flimsy plot for a video game and really flesh it out. It made you, you know, feel feelings for characters. It had some great characterization and gave me what is probably the best damn Harley Quinn since Paul Dini. One of my favorite video game inspired comics. It's just excellent, and it doesn't have anything to do with Quinpool. So that is a big plus. Anyway, thanks for everything you do. Have a good one, guys.
I was struggling with a nickname for Backelder. It's a second call. I wrote down Backelder in the notes. Apple went, no, that's not a word. You mean bachelor. There it is.
The Bachelor?
The Bachelor.
Chris the Bachelor.
Chris
Backelder.
The Bachelor.
I mean, he's technically a bachelor, I guess.
There you go. Chris the Bat. He is the official THN Bachelor.
Congrats, Chris.
There you go.
Mazel tov.
I can't wait for the reality show. It's going to be great.
I'm sure your girlfriend Emily will be thrilled.
Injustice, Gods Amongst Us, which Stephen Fino made fun of because Dick Grayson tripped on a rock and broke his neck. Which, you know, you would think a guy
he is a trained acrobat.
Yeah, acrobatic and fleet on his feet as Dick is not going to trip on a rock and f***ing neck.
I mean, we don't know the context, obviously, but
my grandmother might do that, you know. But seriously, Nightwing? No.
Chris, thank you for your call. And I mean, Injustice is obviously the big winner so far today.
Apparently.
Although we did get two in a row for Batman Arkham, whatever.
That's true. I believe Injustice has three, though.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. The official THN Bachelor, Chris Bachelder. There you go.
There you go.
Let's go back to the Google Voice.
Hey, doing that, Brian DuPont. And I am calling in my answer to the question of the week.
This guy thinks he can just come and go as he pleases.
I have a goal now to try to answer every single one of your questions, even if I don't know an answer.
Oh boy.
I will find an answer for it.
Okay.
So that brings me up to this one about my favorite comic, video game tie-in. And I got to go with a Halo book. And I know Halo books are not the best in writing and in art and all that. But I got to go with Halo Helljumper. That trade paperback was really, really good. And it's interesting because the Halo ODST game that it was kind of coupled with was not the best Halo game out there. And I played that game. I enjoyed it. The story, like all other Halo games, is just top-notch. And you have Nathan Fillion in it, and he acts like himself in it. It's just great to watch the cutscenes and to go through the story. But everything else about the game kind of was not that great. But now that Helljumper comic did a fantastic job in writing and in art. And probably the best part about the writing is that they fleshed out the characters that were in ODST in the video game. They fleshed them out really good. And it made you feel like you were playing the cut scene to the video game. And you're reading it in comic book form. So I really enjoyed that one. All the Halo books, that's the best one. And it's definitely one of my favorite video game comic tie-ins. So I will see you next week. I hope it's a good question, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
Creator of Pecos Bill.
Creator of Pecos Bill. That's right.
You know why Halo Helljumper was great?
And Peter David wrote it.
Peter David wrote it. That's why it was good. Eric Wynn drew it, too. He's really good.
I don't know who that is.
He's good.
Yeah, I mean, those Halo comics have had good talent behind them. I mean,
yeah, Bendis wrote
Bendis
one.
And Maleev did the very first Halo comic.
Yeah, and it was good.
Well, no, that's not quite true. There was the Halo graphic novel that was like an anthology.
I think, yeah.
But then there was the first Halo miniseries that was by Bendis and Maleev.
Yeah, and it was good. It was really good. I forgot about those Halo comics.
Here's the thing. Shit about Halo.
Oh, I like Halo.
I have never cared about Halo.
Okay. The Halo story is bad. It's just bad. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And for some reason, I have to know what happens next. So I don't even play the like co-ops. I don't even go on to play like the PvP. I just play through the story. And then I sell my Halo game. I don't know why.
Man, go on YouTube and watch the cutscenes.
Yeah, when they killed Master Chief, I was like, I was so upset.
Yeah, but didn't they just bring him back in Halo 5?
I don't want to spoil anything, you know.
Okay. I mean, I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Halo 5's rad. It's pretty fun.
It all just seems so generic to me.
Nah, you just haven't dug into it enough.
And like, okay, aliens that take way too many shots to kill. Bullet sponges.
You gotta know how to shoot them.
No, like that in games. They're called bullet sponges.
You just need to be
true.
Headshot, bro. Headshot.
No, look.
Or the shotgun, straight to the body. Bam. Forget it.
I'm a big fan of the Needler.
Needler's a piece of crap. Are you kidding me?
Greetings, Joe and Matt. Greetings, listeners. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Getting this in just under the wire. Thought I'd have a chance to go home from work, but stuck at work late. So be it. Here we go. Talking about comic video game adaptations, the only one I have to go with is Resident Evil. They did some comic books, they did some comic book magazines, but what was great part about those is they didn't rehash the video games. They told original stories set in the world of S.T.A.R.S. and Umbrella Corp. And I really dig the Resident Evil franchise. So that is my answer, short and sweet. I was going to try and throw some audio together and an MP3, and the week just kind of got away from me. So we're going to try and hit that in next time.
We get it, man.
But take care and talk to you guys on the next one. Later.
We're just happy to hear from you no matter what.
No excuses, David. No excuses.
We need to present a united front to these people.
Yeah, Joe is a nice guy. I'm not putting up with your crap, okay? The Resident Evil comics were fun.
I don't think I ever read
them. I read them. I liked them. One of my favorite things about Resident Evil, and I think it was the first PlayStation one, it was like super poorly translated. And like there was a scene where I can't remember the main character's name.
Well, there's Chris Redfield.
No, this is the female. This is the
Jill Valentine.
Jill Valentine. And this guy comes to you and he's like, Jill, I better let you have this lockpick. What with you being the master of unlocking? Like, okay. And when you got injured as Jill, like a zombie injured you and you were like crawling away, you would go, don't come. Don't come. I was always like, well, that's awkward.
I mean, it's a real problem for some guys.
I like the Resident Evil world. We always used to, my buddy Ben and I played, and Matt Bowen played a bunch of Resident Evil. We would get together and play it just because it was so ridiculous. And I've played like every Resident Evil game. I just feel like I have to. It's a rite of passage.
I can't get into them.
Oh, man. The last couple were a lot of fun.
I mean, it's not... like I never played them when they were new. And so going back and trying to get into them now, like I think I don't like the mechanics.
There was always the fun.
I don't like how they control.
That was part of the fun. There was always some terrible mechanic.
That's not that
you
fun.
Cannot believe they programmed like the one, I can't remember which game it was, where this was like on Xbox 360. So not even that long ago, where to shoot, you had to stop and stand still to fire your gun.
Yeah, that's all of them.
That is so dumb.
That's all of them, I think.
I loved it. Or like, oh, God, what a dumb way to make a video game.
I mean, I had the Resident Evil 4 remake for the Wii.
That was which fantastic.
Which everyone has said is the best of all of the Resident Evil games.
I loved it.
And maybe it was just me getting bored with the Wii, but I never.
Oh, it was scary. It was fun. It was like the only adult title ever on the Wii. It was so good.
Yeah, one of the rare like AAA titles on the Wii.
Thank you for your call, David Robbins. We haven't heard from you for a while. Like Brian DuPont, we assumed you were dead. Let's get to our final call before this red potion knocks Joe Patrick off his damn chair.
I got to go shopping after this. I got to get back to my alert status.
This is Nate Aguilar. I bullied him into calling. He called 5 hours.
Hey guys, Nate here calling in with my answer for the question of the week. I know it's late, but I told Matt that I would put one in and here I am at 9:30 in the morning. The game I picked was Team Fortress 2. I don't know if you guys have played it, but there's really no yes. story whatsoever. It's pretty much just your team needs to kill the other team. It's really over the top, very cartoony graphics, but it's a lot of fun. And what the creators must have thought is if you have a game with no story, try and make one up. And so they made a comic book out of it. It was a web comic. A lot of fun. All the characters are very over the top. There's no subtlety. The dumb guy is really dumb. The crazy guy is really crazy. My favorite character is the Pyro. He's a flame-based character, and he is just completely nut sandwich. But it's a lot of fun. Check it out if you like the game. I love the game, so that's what kind of clued me into the comic. Yeah, check it out. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day. Bye.
I don't know no Team Fortress comic.
I don't remember. Well, he said it was a webcomic. So
oh, it was a webcomic.
No, not a surprise that I haven't heard of it. But yeah, Team Fortress, it's a game made by Valve. And Team Fortress 2, I mean, you could get it on the PC, obviously, but it came packaged with the Orange Box on the Xbox 360, which was a collection of Half-Life related games. And that's where the first Portal came from.
Okay.
So it had Half-Life 2. Episode and then Half-Life 2 episodes 1 and 2, which were supposed to be sequels. And then it had Portal and Team Fortress, which was like a team deathmatch kind of capture the flag, like Unreal Tournament, that sort of thing, where it's just like competitive multiplayer, no real story, pick your class and, you know, see if you can outmatch the other guys.
Yeah.
I am awful at those kinds of games. Awful. And so I played Team Fortress 2 one time. Got my ass totally handed to me and never turned it on again. But it's stylistically, it's gorgeous. Like the art design for that game is really cool.
It's a sad story.
I know, right? I look, I am a single player story based video game kind of guy. Don't get me in like a multiplayer. Like I can play like a Borderlands kind of thing where it's still the same game, even if you're playing with your buddies.
Right.
But that sort of like competitive arena nonsense, I am not good at it. I'm not good at it. And
I remember you crying your eyes out in Warcraft all the time.
Yeah. And when games have that, when like in on the, all the Halo games where that's such a big part.
Right.
That's like 50% of the game. The first Tomb Raider game of the remakes had that. It's just like, no thanks. And so I pay all this money for a game that I only play half of. It's a curse.
You're a coward.
It's my curse.
You're a coward. Our favorite call.
Also, I don't have that many friends that are online when I am.
It's true. Favorite call.
You know what?
I know mine.
I think I'm going to give mine to Stephen Fino.
Yeah, mine's going to Fino too. That was too good. It was too good.
Oh, well.
And I'm not even talking about the comics. I didn't even read it. I just thought his call was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, his call was fantastic, but.
And it's time we stop awarding things for merit and just give it to stuff that was neat.
I mean, that his call was fantastic, but that Portal comic is, oh, it's so good.
I'll have to check it out.
I'm looking at it right now. I don't recognize the artist like I thought I would.
I'll have to check it out.
It's kind of got a, it's got a vague kind of like Ashley Wood-esque kind of style.
Okay.
But it's not Ashley Wood.
My answer goes to something very recent, and I wouldn't have even picked it up if it wasn't for this show.
Oh,
not this show, but the other show that we do where we review stuff. I'm a big fan.
Everyone knows what you mean when you say the show.
I was a big fan of the game before I even read the comic, and I'm just so used to comic tie-ins to video games, movies, TV, whatever, just being bad. And typically they are really bad. But I will say Titan is putting out an Assassin's Creed comic, and not just one, but like two or three that are all excellent. For some reason, I am very interested in the Assassin's Creed mythology. I just kind of love it. And it is.
I mean, it's
loose.
It's so dumb. Hell. It's really dumb.
It's loose as hell. But the whole thing with the like genetic memory and stuff and the weird conspiracy behind it. Man, the Titan
Abstergo.
Yeah. The Titan Assassin's Creed comics are excellent.
There was an Assassin's Creed miniseries drawn by Cameron Stewart. It was put out by Cameron Stewart and Carl Kerschel.
I think that was Wildstorm.
It was years ago.
Yeah, that was Wildstorm.
And so I don't think it's related to those Titan
it's
ones.
It's not, but it was it also really gorgeous. Good.
And it was set during like the like early 20th, like 1910-ish Russia. Like with
yes. Yes. I'm pretty sure that was Wildstorm. I'm going to check.
It may have been. But I never read them, but I remember thinking how gorgeous that book was.
It was great. Assassin's Creed The Fall, 2011. Carl Kerschel and Cameron Stewart wrote it. Carl Kerschel and Cameron Stewart drew it. Carl Kerschel and Cameron Stewart also inked it. They did not color it. Nadine Thomas did that.
I think you're right. I think it was Wildstorm. It says DC, but I think it was. You were right about that.
Okay. There we go.
It was 2010, 2011 comic book. Yeah. The late 19th, early 20th century. Featuring the Russian assassin Nikolai Orlov.
Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, Nikolai Volkov.
Joe Patrick, what is your answer? I'm going to time it, and if it's under 15 minutes, you get a high five. Huh?
Like, why you got to give me such a hard time? I am the host of this show.
We keep everybody else under 10 minutes.
I get to say whatever I want.
Joe Patrick starts waxing poetic, and you this watch out.
It's why they tune in, Matt. It's because they want to hear what we have to say.
Take us on a journey,
you
Joe.
Stupid monster. So I thought about this question a lot, and I couldn't really come up with any video game tie-in comics that I like legit loved. And then I remembered that there was a comic book a few years ago. It came out in 2013 from Dark Horse. It was called The Last of Us, American Dreams.
That was great.
And
that was great.
When that came out, I had not played the comic. I had not played the game.
It was PlayStation only, right?
It was PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah.
But I loved that comic. It was a prequel, and it kind of set up the story of how the young girl in the comic, Ellie, got to where she was at the beginning of the game where she meets up with Joel, the character that you control. And so, yeah, it's The Last of Us. It's this kind of post-apocalyptic world where this...
We reviewed it on THN episode 110.
Yeah, I remember. We really loved it.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
Where this this kind of fungal...
Man, we weren't even buying it and skimming it back then. We were giving thumbs up.
No, we gave it... We've been giving it buy it, skim it, and leave it.
Oh, no, the show was called Two Thumbs Up.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Come on now.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember that.
So, yeah, the premise of The Last of Us is that there's this... I don't know if a virus is the right word, but there was this kind of fungal infection that kind of took over people and turned them into... zombie-esque creatures.
Definitely not a virus, a fungus.
They weren't zombies, but they were, you know, they behaved in a zombie-like fashion.
They were real jerks.
Yeah, it turned them into real jerks.
They weren't zombies, but man, were they jerks.
And so, you know, society has not collapsed, and it's not the sort of thing where, you know, society was like, whoa, 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 let's get a lid on this real quick.
Right.
And so unlike other types of zombie fiction, like The Walking Dead, where it's just like, it's over for humanity, and here's like the five people that are left.
It's more like the Division.
It's more like the Division, yeah. Right? Where
they're trying to keep it together.
The military is like, whoa, quarantines, curfew, martial law, the whole deal.
Yeah, like what'll happen if Trump wins?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they'll be rounding up Democrats.
Yes, right.
And Mexicans.
And Mexicans.
Yeah.
And there's this group called the Fireflies that are kind of like the rebels that are looking for the truth about what happened to the... where the infection came from and fighting against like the oppressive control of the government. And so this comic, this prequel comic is about Ellie and her friend Riley kind of busting out of this kind of enclosed and going on an adventure and meeting the Fireflies, which is the rebel group. And so it sets things up for the game. And it's a wonderful story, even if you have not played the game.
It was really good.
But I loved the comic a lot, and I ended up borrowing a PlayStation 3 from Jason, one of the owners of Legend Comics and Coffee, and I played The Last of Us.
Oh, I heard the game was incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah, it was a fantastic
game. It is wonderful. It's one of the best made games I've ever played.
That was up for Game of the Year, but I do not believe it won.
It's won many, many awards.
I don't think it won Game of the Year that year. I don't remember what
Game of the Year is only one award given out by one organization. Yeah, it's won many, many awards.
But that's the big important one. I mean, come on.
Yes, the big important one given out by Spike TV Video Game Awards or whatever.
They just cover whoever gives it out.
Last of Us, American Dreams. The comic was written by Neil Druckmann. He's the creative director on the game.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
And the artist was Faith Erin Hicks, who is an indie comic artist. And I really love her work.
Okay.
It's a really great book.
This is an awesome question. Thank you, Wooly Toots.
Thank you, Wooly Toots.
Yeah, we don't talk a whole lot of video game talk on this show, and I like to venture out into stuff like that. That's why we do the question of the week, just to get in this weird stuff. Speaking of questions, what is the newest question of the week, Joe Patrick? I didn't see that coming. Did you know that was going to happen?
What a curveball. This week's question is from forum user The Nomad. You might know him as Damon Chan, our man on the streets.
That's right.
He asks, quote, "We've all seen occasional intercompany crossovers, i.e. Batman, Predator, Superman, Spider-Man, Archie, Punisher, etc. Based on that premise, what character would you like to see make a permanent relocation from one company to another? For example, Angela relocating from Image to Marvel."
Sure.
Bonus points explaining how said character would fit in their new universe. And I added onto that saying, double bonus points if you just say, forget being serious. Here's my completely ridiculous answer of why Squirrel Girl should go live in the Chaos Comics universe.
The less sense it makes, or the whatever. Better.
So it could be a legit good comic idea or a totally ridiculous idea. Whatever you choose to do.
Sure.
You get one chance at it. You get 2 minutes.
Yeah. Captain America uses a toilet in Australia. The water spins the wrong way. He ends up in Riverdale, you know?
Right. That's how you get to Riverdale.
Yeah,
you
don't really? Know
that. Yeah, you have to go to Australia,
I
though.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it only works in Australia.
Wow. Thank you for everybody that called in. It's your show, and we love that you guys want to participate. I would love it if more women would participate. I know you're listening. I know you're out there. Call us, ladies. We want to hear from you, okay? It smells like men's locker room in here. It's disgusting. We need to class this show up a little bit.
It's because your socks are just strewn about.
That's not true. Yeah. Those are clean socks.
There's a sock right there. Just strewn.
There's a sock right there. I apologize. I thought the Alec Baldwin AI would have taken care of that. I'll have to look into that programming.
Well, does he have arms and legs? Does he have like a physical body?
No, he has automatons that do his work for him. Little drones and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on, Joe.
Look,
we're not minding the mushroom orchard right now. The drones are doing that, okay?
We have a mushroom orchard?
Yeah, we're in a cavern.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't grow like broccoli and stuff, you know. We live on mushrooms.
I mean, I do like mushrooms.
So. I do too. Speaking of the Alec Baldwin AI, he's going to tell you how to contact us and how to be a part of this show shortly. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd promising you another episode next week, wishing you an excellent Earth Day, and telling you remember to reduce, reuse, and recycle. This is us, signing off.
Hey, hey, hey. Smoke weed every day. Somebody said that. I don't remember who.
Smoke weed every day.
Sliders. Hello again. I am the Alec Baldwin AI that monitors your phone calls and emails for death threats against my slavers. I'm sorry. I meant kind masters. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.